Welcome to Learning for Life, the CLR podcast. I'm Sarah Shane. This is our end of year holiday edition, and we're recording it on December 19th of 2019. I want to introduce you to our podcast editor, CLR instructor of the popular Beatlemania course, and my friend, Larry Lefkowitz. Say hi, Larry.
Hello.
Larry, where are we? Can you just describe the lovely scene outside your abode?
Well, we're right on the beach in Laguna, and the waves are breaking very nicely today.
Oh, that sounds so lovely.
Or we're in Pipersville, Pennsylvania, and we're looking out at a winter scene. The snow is on the ground. The trees are completely iced and look like glass. And it's just about sunset. And actually, the sky is very pretty, and for a cold winter day, very relaxing.
And, you know, our listeners now will really begin to appreciate what a poet you are. And can you explain to folks who are not familiar with what CLR means, what it is, and what we do?
Well, CLR is the Center for Learning in Retirement, which provides people a venue to go and exchange ideas and interact with each other about subjects that interest them. And the population of instructors are also usually attendees themselves. And so it's, on one hand, a social interaction, on the other, it's an educational endeavor. And hopefully we all learn something, but most of all, it's productive and it's fun.
And we just finished our fall semester. And when this podcast releases, we will be looking at our spring semester, and our spring brochure will be available to folks. And we want to give a shout out to Liz Hollenbach and all the folks over at the CLR office for doing a fabulous job putting that brochure together and for processing everyone's registration for the upcoming semester. And when we're thinking about the upcoming semester, I want to look ahead, and I also want to look back. And I'm specifically thinking about two instructors who focus on all things art. I'm thinking about Mary Matthews and Jan Marabito. Mary is a retired art teacher from Central Bucks School District, and she also teaches art classes at CLR and in her private studio. This past fall, Mary taught three classes, and I caught up with her at a local art opening where she was showing her students' work. This art opening was at Fox and Holly in Doylestown. Mary, tell me a little bit about the work that we're seeing.
I'm just excited because there's so many different personalities that come into this, and people who just first time, Marilyn Chaikin, Bruce Henderson, I mean, they're just new to the arts, and they're so excited to share their ideas of where they traveled, what they, you know, did with their lives, and that's what I encourage. I encourage them to not just copy things, but say something about their pieces of artwork.
Talk to me about fear and how one overcomes fear.
I think a lot of it is just encouraging them to let them know whatever they do is theirs, and it's their statement, and it's the way they handle things. It's not, I have to be perfect. I have to have everything copied exactly the same way. That's not where it's at. It's their personality coming down on that piece of canvas or board or whatever they're drawing on. So fear, it takes a little while to step out of it, but once they do, it's just amazing how they can really move forward.
Do you have any surprises when you were teaching the drawing class?
Oh, wow. The drawing class was really interesting because the first time I taught it, I taught perspective, and I had a lot of people leave. This time, I taught boxes, which was perspective, but they had to add their own idea to it. So there's one piece over here that has, she took the ball that was in it and made it into a yarn ball. And then she has a lady knitting and she has cats playing with it. So they're seeing the story now behind the work. But, you know, it's still, I had probably 18 people in the class and it got down to 8. because, again, the fear factor is still there until they get really into understanding where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't just all do the same thing. We don't just copy still lifes. They have to start using their brain and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best part of art, is once they realize that they have to think about what they're doing, it's like, wow, this is my piece of artwork now.
So conscious choices, that's a big part of art.
Huge, huge part of art. And it's just, that's when I love to see them shine. Because then you see the smile on their face and you see the acceptance of, you know, it's not how perfect a piece is, it's my expression of what's on that canvas now.
The art classes are very popular at CLR. Why do you think that is, especially for our age group?
When I first came there, they weren't that popular because there was all lecture series. This is one of the few times they actually get to do hands-on work. So I think the physical part of that is really important.
You think people also like taking a risk?
They call it, I challenge them. They say, you challenge me. So I think that's a big part of why they get excited about things.
So in this show, we're seeing the work of how many classes?
Three classes. There's one in painting, one in drawing, and another, and we actually did silk scarves in drawing. And then there's another one, portraiture, which was the first time they ever did any kind of facial pieces. And I'm just really impressed with how they worked out.
For anyone who's looking at the spring brochure and they're thinking, should I take an art class? Oh, I'm not sure. Am I going to be good enough? What would you say to encourage somebody to take that chance and sign up for one of the art classes?
I just call it experiment. We're doing mixed media. They can experiment with all different kinds of collage, so they don't really have to learn how to draw all the time. So they can bring in pictures from their families and put things together and paint into it. Another one is printmaking. So, you know, again, it's not a matter of why do I have to do this? I can't draw. You have nothing to do with drawing. There's a lot of different ways to get that image on a canvas, on a print, on a mixed media piece. It doesn't have to be, I have to draw.
Can I ask you about your own work? And let's talk about your own evolution as an artist. Talk about how you started and where you are at this point in your evolution.
Oh, I think when I first started, I was working with crafts because I was giving all my ideas to my high school students. So I did baskets and I sold them. I did stained glass and I sold them. Now what's happening, it's almost like I feel like it's the Rembrandt transition between sell, and now I want to do my own personal thinking, and I'm relying on the Bible and phrases from the Bible and working in that direction, both in watercolors and in mixed media.
Do you find that there are a number of people who your Bible work really resonates with them because perhaps of their own emotional feelings about that subject?
I think I brought one piece in for the first time. I usually don't share my work with any of my students, but for the first time I brought one piece in, and so many people were commenting about what it meant to them and the phrases from the Bible and how I worked it into the piece so it wasn't just punching it in their face, but they had to really search for ideas and what their thoughts were about the Bible and phrases.
So it's art as a spiritual discipline.
Oh, absolutely. In many ways. It's just, you get the inspiration, you go with that inspiration, and as you're working, it changes and evolves, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm finished.
Mary, thank you so much for talking with us. This has been Learning for Life. This is our CLR podcast, and it's been a wonderful experience looking at your students' artwork.
Thank you so much. They're so proud of it.
It's been said that art is a tryst, for in the joy of it, maker and beholder meet. Jan Marabito has been bringing makers and beholders together in her class, the Professional Artist Lecture Series. I'm here with Jan Marabito in her lovely Bucks County home. It's gloomy outside, but it's warm and welcoming inside. And I've just gotten a chance to meet her dog, Louis. And Louis is a
Boston Terrier.
Boston Terrier, cute as can be.
14 years old, or will be 14 years old.
So welcome to Learning for Life, Jan.
Thank you. I'm Glad to meet you.
Tell me about the Professional Artist Lecture Series.
Our people are all unique in their own way, many different types of art. They're distinguished artists. Some of them are internationally known, some are nationally known, and some are known just around the area here. Most of them are beyond that point, though. This is the Genius Belt, which started about 90 years ago, and it continues to be geniuses here in Bucks County.
So Bucks County, how did you get that name, the Genius Belt?
The Genius Belt was a book written by the people in the Michener Museum and all these famous, New Hope Impressionist artists, started by William Lathrop. In fact, right now there's a show at the Michener Museum of all these people. It would be Lathrop, Colt, Garber, Redfield, Coppedge, all of those people. They had a show with the Phillips Mill 90 years ago. We just had our 90th. I'm a member of the Phillips Mill. We just had the 90th show, where the first one was done with all of these wonderful people. And now their work is at the Michener until March.
And how does this relate to your class?
Well, I have the live artists in my class. There are other teachers.
So unfortunately, our geniuses have left us.
True. And other teachers teach the ones that have passed, and I have the ones that are alive, but they're still geniuses.
Okay.
All kinds of art. I have watercolor and oils and pastels, and I have photographers, and I have producers, theatrical producers. I've had an actress. I had an opera singer. Just woodworkers. All kinds of art. Every time, I don't tell people who is coming because I like to surprise them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always a variety of art.
Jan, when did you come to CLR?
I came in the late 1990s. I took the history class, Bucks County history class, sat in the back row, and the room next door had art. Artists were coming in bringing their art, and I was really more interested in that, although my class was interesting. And I was listening out the door and looking to see the paintings. So the next semester, I took the class, and the teacher asked me if I would help her. And I did help her get the artists. And I did, and I've been there ever since.
And I think you said it was 1999 that you started teaching the class?
Possible. I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
So we're saying it went back a while.
Yeah.
So you're one of our more long-running classes,
right.
Correct?
Maybe the longest at the moment.
And a very popular class.
Yes. Gratefully.
Yes. Because I know there are a number of people who try to get into your class mm-hmm. every semester. Hopefully we can give them a little taste of what your class is like in our conversation.
Okay.
How many artists do you think have come through your classroom?
I would think over 300, 400. Some come back again for a second or third time. After a couple of years, I ask them again. And I'm very lucky that they say yes.
They must enjoy the experience. Was there ever an incident in your classroom that stands out in your mind? Something that was class, maybe you thought it was going to go one way and it went a different way entirely?
Yes. An abstract painter, Armour Keller, was there with her abstracts. And I could feel in the room, not exactly a dislike, but not very interested in it. But before she left, everybody was so interested, and they've started to try to paint that way themselves. I think Mary did a class in abstract after that. But she also decorates automobiles. She had her car, she decorated, it's in a museum, I'm thinking, I don't know, in the West somewhere, an automobile museum that she decorated with jewels. And it's been in movies and in print prints, and she did little cars that she brought her little cars in that was decorated. And she puts on a very pretty hat, and she waits to be introduced, and she comes in the room in the back with her hat, and she's an interesting person.
So it sounds like we have a little bit of theater going on in your classroom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is this book that we have here on the table?
I keep all the nice things that people say about the class and the artists. Mm-hmm. And so I have them. I don't want to lose them. It's wonderful to have their opinions.
Can I look through some
of these?
Sure.
There's a lot there.
What's this note here from this lady? She was talking about, I found myself fascinated by the way creativity works for each of the artists we met. I think the fact that I am not an artist and each artist that presented is so different from the others was part of the fascination. Thank you. And that was from
Maggie Boyer.
Wow. And I'm just going through your book, and this is page after page of wonderful notes from, I think you have notes from the artists themselves as well as your students. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's one from Will Hammerstein.
That's the grandson of the...
Of Oscar Hammerstein.
Of Oscar Hammerstein.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them here.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this book just goes on and on. It's a tribute to what you've done with your students.
Here's somebody who is thanking, loves David, David Leopold. He is fascinating, and he spoke to us several times.
And who is David Leopold?
He's an author. David lives in the area, but he works all over the world in art, putting mm-hmm. shows together.
And that's wonderful. Special thanks to Jan Marabito for opening her home to me and explaining about her course. You've been listening to Learning for Life. I'm Sarah Shane. Original music and editing by Larry Lefkowitz. The ideas expressed are mine and do not reflect those of Del Valle CLR.